Heinrich Himmler. There is a speech allegedly given by Himmler in Posen in October 1943. The translation of the relevant part, as it appears in the NMT volumes, is as follows, with the original German given in some cases, quote, "I also want to talk to you, quite frankly, on a very grave matter. Among ourselves it should be mentioned quite frankly, and yet we will never speak of it publicly. Just as we did not hesitate on June 30, 1934, to do the duty we were bidden, and stand comrades who had lapsed up, against the wall and shoot them, so we have never spoken about it and will never speak of it. I mean the evacuation of the Jews, die Judenevakuierung, the extermination, Ausrottung, of the Jewish race. It's one of those things it is easy to talk about, the Jewish race is being exterminated, ausgerottet, says one party member, that's quite clear, it's in our program, elimination, Ausschaltung, of the Jews, and we're doing it, extermination, Ausrottung, is what we're doing. And then they come, 80 million worthy Germans, and each one has his decent Jew. Of course the others are vermin, but this one is an A1 Jew. Not one of all those who talk this way has watched it, not one of them has gone through it. Most of you must know what it means when 100 corpses are lying side by side, or 500, or 1,000. To have stuck it out, and at the same time, apart from exceptions caused by human weakness, to have remained decent fellows, that is what has made us hard. This is a page of glory in our history which has never been written and is never to be written, for we know how difficult we should have made it for ourselves, if with the bombing raids, the burdens and the deprivations of war, we still had Jews today in every town as secret saboteurs, agitators and troublemongers. We would now probably have reached the 1916-1917 stage, when the Jews were still in the German national body. We have taken from them what wealth they had. I have issued a strict order, which SS Obergruppenführer Pohl has carried out, that this wealth should, as a matter of course, be handed over to the Reich without reserve. We have taken none of it for ourselves. We had the moral right, we had the duty to our people, to destroy this people, dieses Volk umzubringen, which wanted to destroy us. But we have not the right to enrich ourselves with so much as a fur, a watch, a mark, or a cigarette, or anything else. Because we exterminated, ausrotteten, a germ, we do not want in the end to be infected by the germ and die of it. Wherever it may form, we will cauterize it, unquote. The evidence that Himmler actually made these remarks is very weak. The alleged text of the Posen speech is part of document 1919 PS, and covers 63 pages in the IMT volumes. The quoted portion occurs in a section of 1.5 pages length which stands about midway in the text under the heading Jewish Evacuation. The manuscript of the speech, which bears no signature or other endorsement, is said, in the descriptive material accompanying the trial document, to have been found in Rosenberg's files. It was put into evidence at the IMT as part of document 1919 PS, but it was not stated, during the IMT proceedings, where the document was supposed to have been found, and nobody questioned Rosenberg in connection with it. On the other hand, Rosenberg was questioned in regard to 3428 PS, another document said to have been found in his files, which is discussed briefly below, and he denied that it could have been part of his files. It is further claimed that during case 11, quote, the Rosenberg files were rescreened, and 44 records were discovered to be a phonographic recording of Himmler's Posen speech of October 4, 1943, unquote. The records are supposed to be document NO 5909, and were put into evidence during the testimony of defendant Gottlob Berger, SS general, former head of the SS administrative department, Himmler's personal liaison with Rosenberg's ministry for the occupied East, and chief of POW affairs toward the end of the war. In his direct examination, Berger had testified that he had known nothing of any extermination program, and also that Himmler had indeed delivered an interminable speech at Posen in 1943, to an audience of higher SS leaders which included himself. However, he denied that document 1919 PS was an accurate transcript of the speech, because he recalled that part of the speech had dealt with certain Belgian and Dutch SS leaders who were present at the meeting, and, quote, that is not contained in the transcript. I can say with certainty that he did not speak about the Ausrottung of the Jews, because the reason for this meeting was to equalize and adjust these tremendous tensions between the Waffen-SS and the police, unquote. In the cross-examination, Prosecutor Peterson played a phonograph recording of somebody speaking the first lines of the alleged speech, but Berger at first denied that the voice was Himmler's, and then, after a second playing of the same lines, he said that it, quote, might be Heinrich Himmler's voice, unquote. The records were then offered in evidence, and more excerpts, including the one dealing with Jewish evacuation, which is quoted above, were played in court. Berger was not questioned further, however, on the authenticity of the voice, and was excused immediately after the playing of the records. It was only with some reluctance that the court accepted these records in evidence, quote. Judge Powers, presiding, well, I think that there is enough evidence here, prima facie, that the voice is the voice of Himmler to justify receiving the document in evidence. There is no evidence, however, that it was delivered at Poznan or any other particular place. The discs will be received in evidence as an indication of Himmler's general attitude, unquote. The only prima facie evidence for the authenticity of the voice, at only one point in the speech, as far as I can see, was the Berger statement at one point that the voice might be Heinrich Himmler's. In our judgment, the prosecution did not submit one bit of evidence that the voice was that of Himmler or even that the Poznan speech, which everyone would agree dwelled on sensitive subjects, was recorded phonographically. Thus, the authenticity of these phonograph recordings has not even been argued, much less demonstrated. Reitlinger remarks that a partial gramophone recording of the Poznan speech exists, but he does not say what part still exists. I have not pursued the question any further, because I would not be qualified to evaluate such recordings if they were produced. Note that these recordings, claimed to have been belatedly discovered in a dead man's files, were put into evidence at the same trial, Kempner's Circus, which the analysis had already conclusively discredited on independent grounds. In addition, it seems quite peculiar that Himmler would have allowed the recording of a speech containing material that he, quote, will never speak of publicly, unquote, and then, despite his control of the Gestapo, have seen these recordings fall into the hands of his political rival Rosenberg. On the basis of these considerations, and also on account of the fact that it is very difficult to believe that Himmler would have wasted the time of so many high SS leaders by delivering the supposed text in document 1919 PS, a most general discussion of the war, one can be sure that we have another forgery here. However, parts of the alleged speech may be authentic, and some parts may have been delivered during the Poznan speech or on other occasions. It is true that Pohl testified in Case 4 that he was present at the Poznan speech, probably true, and that Himmler did deliver the remarks concerning extermination of the Jews. However, Pohl's real point was a ludicrous one. We have noted that Pohl's basic trial strategy was to attempt to exploit the fact that the extermination charges had been thrown specifically at the Gestapo and the RSHA, and he was quick to pounce on such things as the Huss affidavit as absolving him in regard to exterminations. His defense strategy had the same basic logic as the strategies of all defendants we have examined, except for Göring. Thus, Pohl's testimony concerning the Poznan speech came in the context of his declaration that the speech was his first information about the exterminations. In other words, the exterminations were allegedly so far removed from his official responsibilities that it required a declaration by Himmler for him to learn of them. He naturally further testified that he shortly later protested to Himmler but was told that it was quote-unquote none of your business. Thus was expressed merely Pohl's defense strategy of putting self-serving interpretations on that, which was passing as fact in court. A lesser point should be made before we leave the subject of the Poznan speech. It is possible to argue that the text may be genuine at this point, but that by Ausrottung Himmler merely meant uprooting, or some form of elimination less drastic than killing. The principal basis for such an argument would be that Ausrottung is indeed explicitly equated in the text with Judenevakuierung and with Ausschaltung. The corpses referred to could easily be interpreted as German corpses produced by the Allied air raids, for which the Nazis often claimed the Jews were ultimately responsible. On the other hand, it can be noted that, if the remarks are authentic, then Himmler regarded it as a right and a duty dieses Volk umzubringen, and the comparison with the bloody purge of 1934 at the outset of the remarks, seems to justify taking Ausrottung in its primary sense of extermination. Thus, while such an argument could be made, it would not be very solid. The conclusive point is that, in being asked to believe that the text is genuine we are, in effect, being asked to believe Kempner.